नमते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 38 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड अजामिल डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णु दूतस। ममाहम इति देहादौ हित्वा मिथ्यार्थ धीर्मतिम् दास्ये मनो भगवती शुद्धं तत्कीर्तनादिभिः। ममाहम इति देहादौ हित्वा मिथ्यार्थ धीर्मतिम् दास्ये मनो भगवती शुद्धं तत्कीर्तनादिभिः। माताजी प्लीज। इति देहादो त्वामित्या तदीर्मति शुद्धं तत्कीर्तनादिभिः। अहमिति देहादो मनो भगवती तत्कीर्तनादिभिः। मम माय अहम आय इति दस देहादौ इन द बॉडी एंड द थिंग्स रिलेटेड टू द बॉडी हित्वा गिविंग अप amitya not false artha on values di with my consciousness matim the attitude dasye I shall engage mana my mind bhagavati on the supreme personality of godhead shuddham pure Tat, his name, Kirtanadivihi, by chanting, hearing, and so on. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation, Simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, henceforward I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Purport. How a living entity becomes a victim of the material condition is lucidly explained in this verse. The beginning is to misidentify the body as oneself. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins with the spiritual instruction that one is not the body, but is within the body. This consciousness can be possible only if one chants the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and always keeps oneself in the association of devotees. This is the secret of success. Therefore, we stress that one should chant the holy name of the Lord and keep oneself free from the contaminations of this material world, especially the contaminations of lusty desires for illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication and gambling. With determination, one should vow to follow these principles and thus be saved from the miserable condition of material existence. The first necessity is to become freed from the bodily concept of life. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Deva Mita Swamini Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatri Vichakripasindhu Vichapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Ajamil is saying, simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim to the false lures of material sense gratification. Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, henceforward I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. So it's explained that the hind vision is always 20-20. The conditioned soul always looks at the past and thinks that only if I get another chance, then how wonderful it will be. In Sanskrit it's called sochati and kangshati, always hankering and lamenting. When we have something, we're careless, so we lose it. And when we lose it, we want it back. So we're always going back and forth. Like this devotee, Sarva Bhavana Prabhu, writes in the book, Salted Bread, how when he was arrested and put in prison, the first thing that came to him was how, as soon as he was put in a dark cell, the first thing it came to him was like, how we take the sunshine that we see every day for granted. And that's the first thing that hit him, like, you know, there's so much, you know, beautiful sunshine, but we don't take it seriously. But then when this devotee was put in the cell, the first thing that came to his mind was, as soon as I'm released — he was not released for many years, but the first thing that came to his mind was, as soon as I'm released, I'm going to go outside and chant three Gayatris, Gayatri Mantra, every junction of the day and enjoy the sunshine. And when his hands were handcuffed, he couldn't even scratch. Like his back was itching, so he was like, how we take it granted that, you know, we think it's normal when it's itch, you know, the hands go there and itch. But then when you're handcuffed, you're not able to do that. Such a simple thing. But then that's another desire he had. As soon as I'm free, I'm going to like scratch however I like, you know, whenever I like. Even though these are like simple things, but, you know, we take it granted. But it's amazing when it's taken away how much these things like we overlooked and how much it means to us and how merciful is Krishna. And then he writes, do you think when I was released, I was chanting Gayatri in the sunshine 3 times a day? No. He says, I forgot. As soon as I came out, I forgot. So similarly, this is our position. Whatever it's given to us, we overlook even when we have it, and then when we don't have it, we regret, and then when it's given back, again we forget. Maya is so powerful. It's like Ajamil is speaking. It's like an autobiography, you know. And Ajamil is explaining his past and his present and how grateful he is. And in this translation, especially, he's giving the formula for success. He's saying the formula for success is to actually chant in the association of devotees, which is very purifying. Actually, the Vedic scriptures explain that the first class intelligence is to hear somebody else's experience and just learn from it. Just like a doctor. You know, we have so many doctors in our congregation. We have, like some of them are cancer specialists. It's not like the cancer specialist suffers cancer himself and learns how to cure others. No, he just reads the manual. He just reads the books and he treats others. Similarly, the first class intelligent person doesn't want to go through what His Grace Ajamil Prabhu was going through and speaking about. We can just hear and learn from their experience, which saves us from so much anxiety and trouble. And Ajamil is glorifying, chanting the holy names of Krishna in the association of devotees. It's a very, very important instruction. Because what's the use of having like lots of bank balance or a palatial house like far away where there are no devotees? It's actually like a very painful situation. On the other hand, what's the use if you're living with the devotees and we're not taking advantage, to able to hear and chant with the devotees. Either way, it's useless. The example is given just like a lady that lives in a sandalwood forest. She's surrounded by sandalwood everywhere, even though it's such an expensive wood, expensive tree. We all know how expensive sandalwood is. And even to cook and to light fire, she only uses sandalwood, even to burn. Similarly, sometimes living in the association of devotees, we become familiar because all we deal with all the time is devotees. So we become very familiar and we don't take advantage to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. On the other hand, we become like expert at like gossiping, fault finding, and so on and so forth. It's actually very unfortunate when that happens, and it actually makes the community very unattractive for anybody, any aspiring new people to come and be part of. Prabhupada actually said just one basic test. Prabhupada said, just think At any time of the day, are you envious? Are you jealous of another devotee? And if you are, then you're living in the material world. And Prabhupada said, if you're not envious of your fellow devotee, and you're not gossiping, you're not fault-finding, you're not criticizing, like Bhakti Purushottam Swami said, when you want to find fault another devotee, the mouth starts watering, like when you see a jar of pickle. You know, when you see pickle, the mouth starts salivating. Similarly, when you want to speak bad about a devotee, we become so expert at searching out and finding the faults. It's like recently I was in the gas station trying to get some gasoline. And this like young lady was running around my car and looking. I was thinking, what's she searching for? And then somehow or other she spotted such a small crack in one of the windows. And she pointed, "You see that?" I said, "Yeah, what about?" She said, "You have to fix it right now. Otherwise, it's going to cost you like thousands later, and we will do it for like very cheap." So I was thinking like how she's trained to spot that minute crack and run around all day doing that. So sometimes we become like that. It's actually very unfortunate when we do that to each other. But the purpose is to come together, and even though we may feel envious or feel like gossiping or speaking bad about another devotee, there's such a thing as tolerating, Krishna explains. We should learn how to tolerate the urges. And this way, it's like a freeway. Bhagavatam says, the example is given like when you're shaving. If you're careful, then you have a clear shave. And if you're not careful, then it's a bloodshed. Similarly, in modern day, like when we're driving down the freeway, sometimes we're going, I hear many devotees getting like speeding tickets. Many times we're going like 80 or 90 miles an hour. That means when you're focused, when you're careful, then you go to the destination real fast. But if you care less on the wheel, then we die really fast. That's why Bhagavatam says it's actually a privilege to be close to devotees and the deities. And the path back home, back to Godhead, becomes really, really easy and fast. But if we care less, then fall down and, going to, the opposite direction, namely like, repeated birth and death becomes very fast, very, very easily achieved. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami, when Raghunath Das Goswami asked, what is the duty of a Vaishnava? First thing Mahaprabhu said, he said, don't talk like ordinary village people. Don't talk trash, like they call it. Because if you see the materialist, all day long, they have nothing else. Even you see at work, even the closest friends, as soon as they're like, out of the scene, they immediately start speaking bad about even the closest friend. At any given situation, doesn't matter whether it's a politician or a movie star or a musician, people are always gossiping about them and they are gossiping about others. This is like a sign of a materialist. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually told Raghunath Das Goswami, the first thing you don't do is don't speak nonsense. It's very, very counterproductive actually. And there are so many examples throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures explaining the dangers of if we are not careful. If we are not careful on the wheel, if you're falling asleep on the wheel, if you're inattentive in spiritual life, the dangers are very great. Srimad Bhagavatam, actually I was reading the fifth canto, where it talks about Maharaj Bharat. It's unbelievable what kind of personality he was. It's explained that, you know, he was actually ruling his father's kingdom for 1,000 into 10,000 years. Prabhupada translates 1,000 into 10,000 years. He was the king. And he was an exalted Vaishnava. He was observing Ekadasi and Chaturmas, and he was actually chanting Rig Veda mantra, and he was extremely charitable and clean and truthful and detached and renounced, and so much so that Bhagavatam says he was on the Bhava platform. And all the Ashtasattvika Bhava, all the 8 symptoms were manifesting on his body when he was actually chanting the holy names of Krishna. And Bhagavatam also explains all the material desires actually disappeared from his heart. And he actually went to the forest, leaving his kingdom, which was the whole earth planet. Sometimes it's so hard for us to renounce something like insignificant. But he renounced the whole planet and went to the forest. He was such an exalted personality. But still, Bhagavatam explains the dangers of being in the material world, that he became attached and attracted to this a small deer. And he was feeling so much compassion for this deer. He was taking care of the deer. He was carrying the baby deer around his shoulders. He was kissing the deer, and he was always writing poems about the deer. And so much he became attached to this small deer. Such an exalted personality. It's like, if we, all of us get chance, we can try to read these pastimes of Maharaj Bharat. It's so instructive. Especially the way Prabhupada writes the purport. Systematically, Prabhupada is showing how the fall down begins in spiritual life. He was such a great personality, but Prabhupada says he forgot his sadhana. Just slowly, Maharaj Bharat, he forgot about his sadhana. And the unfortunate thing is, he had also no God brothers or devotee association to remind him, hey, you know, Maharaj, maybe, you know, you should focus, you know, chant your rounds or, you know, do your sadhana properly. He had no association. And he was so, Maya was so like, subtle, so slowly just grabbed him. And Maharaj Bharat, even though he was on the Bhava platform, it's explained that he was actually would be doing his meditation, and the deer would come and rub his baby horns against him, and he would forget about the sadhana, and he would start playing with it. So Prabhupada says that just the fact that he interrupted his sadhana means he had fallen from his exalted spiritual position, Prabhupada explains. Just the fact he was becoming inattentive with his regulative principle, regular sadhana, even though he was such an exalted person, he became overwhelmed and became attached to something insignificant. Prabhupada says just like that. Prabhupada says he became attached to something very insignificant. Like Savas Prabhu was mentioning in his class, very nice example of donkeys in Vrindavan, how all life is just carrying load, even though the grass is available everywhere free. Similarly, even in Krishna consciousness, because being neglectful of our sadhana, then we become overwhelmed by the illusory potency of Krishna. We become attached to something insignificant, and we are willing to trade such a valuable thing as love of God or Krishna consciousness. And it starts slowly and it happens so gradually that we don't even feel it. And all of a sudden we're wondering, like, how did that happen? You know, it's amazing. And Bhagavatam explains, as this was going on, as he was attached to the deer, the venomous serpent of death approached Maharaj Bharat. And sure enough, he was meditating so much on the deer, he became a deer. It's actually inconceivable to, if we actually read the descriptions of what kind of caliber Maharaj Bharat was, for him to become a deer was so amazing. Inconceivable. But the mercy of Krishna, he actually didn't forget. He didn't forget his past lives. And in the body of a deer, the Bhagavatam is speaking what Maharaj Bharat was thinking. Sometimes people challenge you, like, you know, how do you know what a dog is thinking or what a deer is thinking? But this is Vyasadeva speaking. He's the super soul of in everyone's heart, and he's giving descriptions of what a deer is thinking. So we cannot argue. So in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat is speaking, alas, you know, look at my situation. How exalted position I was in. Now look at me, how, you know, what, how condemned I am, what my position is. Very similar to Ajamil. There's so many instances in the Bhagavatam. Just reminding us how we have to be so careful. Because Maya is so thorough. And before we know it, we're already in the headlocks. It's like one of my friends, recently I met with him. He used to be a very good devotee, very fired up book distributor. But now he says he no longer believes in Krishna. And he's looking at me and saying, what are you doing? Do you see yourself doing this all your life? This is not normal, he says. This is not natural. Natural thing is to enjoy, you know. Enjoy, get married, have children, you know, just be normal person. What is this weird thing you're doing? And then I was saying, like, I was asking him, like, what's normal, natural, just to, you know, work 40 hours and grow old and die? Is that natural for you? He says, okay, keep to your philosophy to yourself. I don't want to hear. So I was thinking, I didn't start, you started, so I'm just explaining my point of view. It says, whatever it is, let's change the topic. I don't want to talk about death. It's like a festival season, you know. You're very negative. It's always like this, when Maya, we think that, you know, just to work hard like an ass, grow old, get diseased and die, is actually the normal thing. People actually argue many times. What's wrong with, you know, getting gray hairs? Or what's wrong with growing old? What's wrong with dying? It's natural, you know. It's all part of evolving, you know. And when Maya is like, one of my uncles, actually, he was very upset when I met him once a few years ago. He was upset. He says, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, I'm trying to love God and serve God. He was, you know, he worshipped Shaligram. He's a Vaishnava, so-called. But he said, what are you doing? I said, you know, I'm trying to practice Krishna consciousness. He's saying you're doing injustice. I said, in what way? He says, if another Indian was given a chance to be in the United States, he would do amazing things. But look at you. You're actually ruining the prestige of all other fellow Indians by peddling these books in public places. What are you doing? He was very offended. The whole room, we can feel it, like such bad vibration. And he says, if you want to be a pujari, then come. I will find you a job in the military. The military is looking for pujaris at the moment. You can worship like Nehru, Gandhi, Kali, whatever you like, there are so many deities. Why just Krishna? And they will give you monthly salary, and then when you retire, there's a pension. It's like a whole thing. He had it all figured out. So I was just thinking, here he is, you know, he was born in such a high-class family, but he had no training. He's just completely in the clutches of Maya. And he thinks like this, you know. And people, like Prabhupada wrote the brochure, Who is Crazy? Because the materialists think we are crazy, and according to Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see how ridiculous people's lives are and what kind of destination is awaiting them. So we are actually very, very, very fortunate to be actually in the association of devotees and to be able to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. And we shouldn't fumble the ball, like we should read these descriptions of how Maharaj Bharat was feeling in the body of a deer and how Ajamil is feeling, he was such a great Brahmana and then due to bad association. By reading all this, we can become careful. Like Prabhupada actually said, my only regret is that my disciples, of course, his grand disciples also including, are not fearful of Maya enough. We think it's like some kind of static energy or something which is going to allow us to chant and dance and go back to Godhead. It's not like that. It's actually explained, between the material world and the spiritual world there's a staircase, and every step there is a struggle and test. It's not like any fool can enter the kingdom of God and disturb all the cowherd boys and cowherd girls there. We like more like Dvivida or something, you know. Causing disturbance in the peaceful, beautiful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And also, Prabhupada writes, today is actually the disappearance of Jiva Goswami, who was actually the nephew of Rupa Goswami. Like we sing, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Sri Jiva Gopala. Prabhupada actually writes, there are so many obstacles on the path of devotional service. Maya is throwing obstacles every moment. But by taking shelter of these six Goswamis, we can actually overcome these obstacles and achieve desired success. Namely, becoming Krishna conscious ourselves and spreading Krishna consciousness, reaching out to others. It's totally possible by the mercy of the six Goswamis. They remove all obstacles. Like by mercy of Bhrigupati Prabhu, we all learned the Sad Goswami Ashtakam. And every time you sing this Sad Goswami Ashtakam in any circumstance, immediately all obstacles are removed and, you know, you get so much mercy. The mercy personified personalities. And it's explained about Jiva Goswami that he was actually, after Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they left the planet, he was actually the leader, leading all the other Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. And he actually wrote 500,000 Sanskrit verses in glorification of Krishna. Can you imagine what kind of scholar he was? 500,000 slokas. He's also extremely, extremely humble personality. Because generally when you're knowledgeable, then become proud. It's explained one time, the Digvijay Pandit, there was this personality, such an extreme erudite scholar in the Vedas. He was all the way from Kashmir up to south, Kanyakumari. He was going defeating everybody in debates. And this Digvijay Pandit, he actually heard about Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And he came to Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were actually absorbed in writing, you know, books explaining the essence of the Vedas. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Saddharma Samstapaka, trying to establish the religious principles. And this Digvijay Pandit came and challenged them. I'm Digvijay Pandit, I've conquered every other scholar so far. in the Bharat Varsh. And I want to challenge you, Rupa and Sanatan, for a debate. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they looked at him and said, you know, we don't have time, unfortunately, for all this kind of a debate. We're sorry. So Digvijay Pandit said, then sign this letter saying I defeated you. And they happily signed it. Okay, we are defeated by the Digvijay Pandit. And off he went. And he went to Jiva Goswami and asked him for a debate. Come, debate with me. And Jiva Goswami said, no, actually, you know, I don't like to. And Digvijay Pandit showed Jiva Goswami the letter. See, I defeated your uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. Jiva Goswami immediately became like a fire. And he couldn't tolerate this guy's ego. So Jiva Goswami said, on my own, I don't mind being defeated by this guy, but he's saying that he has the audacity to think that he's defeated Rupa and Sanatan. So he took the challenge and he crushed all his arguments to powder and defeated him and kicked him out of Vrindavan. And when Rupa Goswami heard about this, he called for Jiva Goswami and said, you are not fit to be in Vrindavan, get out. And Jiva Goswami was amazed. He said, did I do anything wrong? He said, yes, you wasted your time in egoistic arguments with this Digvijay Pandit. You're so puffed up, and anybody who's proud has no place in Vrindavan. Get out. And Jiva Goswami didn't think, oh Gurudev, you know, you're misunderstood. Actually, I was fighting on your behalf, and this is how you treat me. You're actually not my guru anymore. He wasn't thinking like that. Jiva Goswami said, oh, Rupa Goswami is calling me puffed up. I must be puffed up. Unless I'm puffed up, he's not going to tell me that I'm puffed up. So I immediately left. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came and he was giving many instructions to Rupa and Sanatan. One of them was, Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, Jiva Doya, which means two meanings. One is to show mercy to all conditioned souls. Another meaning was to, you know, okay, that's enough. You know, you chastised Jiva Goswami enough. Now bring him back, you know, give him shelter. Because apparently he was living in a hole, near Ganges, which was like half filled with water, and they were like crocodiles. And he was eating mud, Ganges mud, occasionally to eat something. And he was like doing such heavy austerities and penances to purify his ego. So such a great personalities. Very authorized movement we have. Krishna consciousness is not based on sentiment. The previous acharyas were like so scholars. But we are so fortunate, they put bhakti yoga on sale for us. Just like in the Christmas season, you know, the $99 shoe, they put it on sale for like $9.99, you know. We don't question, we just take it because it's great, you know. Similarly, we are so unqualified, like Sanatan Goswami wrote so many books. But then he thought for a second, say, who is going to understand all these books? So he dug a hole and buried all the books and put a temple on top. They call it Granth Samadhi. Everybody is just circumambulating the Samadhi now. So such is our position that we're not qualified, but the mercy has been handed to us in the silver platter. We just have to preserve it and be grateful and not lose it. He didn't go out of her way to become Vaishnavas or scholars. It was Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada chased after us and gave it to us. At least we should just preserve it and take good care of it. That much we can do. So anybody has any questions or comments? Any realizations? Prema Sankirtan Prabhu.
Can you, when two devotees come together and
ये जनरली बाय डिफॉल्ट अ कंडीशन्ड सोल इज लाइक एनवियस. सो व्हेन यू स्पीकिंग अबाउट अनदर डिवोटी लाइक वेरी रेयरली आई मेट पर्सनालिटीज दैट आर स्पीकिंग अबाउट अनदर डिवोटी टू एक्चुअली हेल्प. यूजुअली इट्स लाइक it's the other way around to actually like tear them down so you look like you're better than the other person. But it's also explained it has to be your position. If you're in a position to, you know, speak about another devotee and correct him and help him, then that's something, that's a service. But generally speaking, if you're just speaking, as soon as we speak, we know like what kind of motivation we have, and we should be conscious and like they say, nip it in the bud. You know, we should try not to indulge in it. We should know that it's a disease, and we love it, but it's something very unfavorable for our spiritual life. So we should just tolerate the urge and just not speak it. Like Prabhupada said, when you're speaking prajalpa, when you open the mouth, all the spiritual practices and piety and sadhana you've done just pours out of your mouth and just goes to waste. So we should be like conscious and just tolerate the urge and just not say it. Better not say anything, because the result is that we're going to not get love of God, which is why we're here for. So what's Prabhu?
Someone is more advanced than you and you're constantly finding fault with that individual, how will you advance? In other words, the idea is that you're trying to bring that individual down to where you are. If they're more advanced than you, then the envy is to find fault with them so that they stop their advancement. They're too excited about Krishna consciousness, so bring them down to my level, which is normal. This is a normal level. So we see that if we follow that principle, then we can just seriously or in a practical way stop criticism and we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Jai. Prantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.